Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
So, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Shabbos Daf Membeis, right on top of the Amud, says the Gemara. Lememra de Shmuel. Kirab Shimon Svirle, Lememra, do you propose, do you indeed hold, that Shmuel concurs with Rab Shimon? He holds like the opinion of Rab Shimon with regards to the halacha of Dovar She'im Miskaven is Mutter. If one does an act which results in a subsequent malacha being done, being performed without his intention, he has no kavanah to do that. His kavanah is intention to merely do the primary act, but not the secondary act. According to Rab Shimon, Dovar She'im Miskaven is Mutter. Do you propose indeed that Shmuel agrees with that? Because Shmuel tells us, one may take a hot kettle, which was emptied of its contents, and pour into it cold water, for the purpose, for the sake of warming up that water somewhat, hefsheroi lahafshir, he's merely warming it up, it's not getting hot enough to be considered mevushal, so that is allowed. Shmuel says, that is allowed even if perhaps this will result in galvanizing the kettle, in hardening it, in doing a malach of mitzarif, because that's not his intention, that's not his kavana. And Shmuel concurs with Shitas Rav Shimon that Dovar She'im Miskaven is mutter. Says Gemara, indeed, is that so? Lememra, you propose the Shmuel Rav Shimon severely that he follows Rav Shimon's Shita? But how does this fit with another ruling of Shmuel? V'amar Shmuel, didn't Shmuel tell us? Mechabin gacheles shol mateches b'shus harabim. One can extinguish a glowing piece of metal in b'shus harabim. B'shvil shlo yizoyku b'rabim, on account of public safety, so that it shouldn't pose a danger to the rabbim, to the passerby in Rishus HaRabbim. So you may be mechabed that gechal, extinguish it. Avaloi gechal shel eitz, but not if it's a burning piece of wood, if it's a coal of wood. There he can't be mechabed the gechalas, he can put out the flame, he can extinguish this gechalas. Even though he's doing it on account of public safety. Now what is the difference between a glowing piece of metal, a gachela shel ma'ateches, and a gachela shel eitz? Explains Rashi. Because with regard to a gachela shel barzel, shel ma'ateches, of metal, of iron, whatever, there's no kibui de min ha-Torah. The malacha of kibui min ha-Torah, of extinguishing a fire, does not apply to a gachela shel barzel, gachela shel ma'ateches. It's merely a glowing piece of metal. It's not really considered to be extinguishing a fire. In fact, the Rambam says that even cooking up, heating up this gacheles till it glows, Rambam says it's considered to be a tolda of malachas bishul. It's like he's cooking it because he's softening a hard item, a hard piece of metal. So that's it's a lot of bishul. But the Rambam seems to imply that it's not really a malach of lighting a fire of mavir, because this is not really considered to be a fire. Here too explains Rashi, extinguishing this fire, this glowing metal, is not a malacha of kibui min ha-Torah. It is only midrabbanan that it's asur. Says Rashi, the rabbanan set aside their issa, the rabbanan, their shus, the rabbanan, at a time when there is a danger, a nezek l'rabim. They weren't geyser. Therefore, Shmuel tells us, if it is a gachela shel mateches, it's okay, because he's doing it for public safety, and he may forego issa derabbanan in that circumstance. However, a gachela shel eitz, a burning piece of wood, a coal of wood, putting that out, extinguishing that, would be considered a malacha deraisa, a kibum min ha-Torah, and therefore cannot be done even on account of public safety. Says Gemara, let's analyze this. V'yisal kedaitach, if you propose that savala k'Rav Shimon, that Shmuel concurs with Rav Shimon, he holds of Rav Shimon's shita with regard to malachas of Shabbos. If so, afilu shel eitz nami, even if we're speaking about a burning piece of wood, this too should be allowed. Why is that? Because there are actually two halachas which seem to be related, where Rav Shimon holds that in both cases it's not a malacha. Number one was a dover shein meskaven, like we spoke until now. If one does a malacha without any kavana to bring about that malacha, he's doing one act which results in another malacha being done, which wasn't really his intention. According to Rav Shimon, Dover Shein Miskaven is Mutter. Number two, Rav Shimon also holds that a malacha She'eino tzricha legufa is patur. If one performs a malacha with proper outright intentions to do that malacha, but he doesn't need the malacha for its own sake. He's doing it merely to address a side issue, to avoid a problem. So the point of the malacha here is not to achieve something positive out of the malacha itself. He's not using it to create, to fashion, to build, to achieve a higher design. You know, the classic example of this would be the Mishnah which discusses the one who is moitzi et hameitz mita. He's moitzi the mace from a shayachat out to which is a rabbim. That is a malacha veitza. But that is considered to be a malacha she'eina tzricha. It is not needed legufa for its own sake. Because generally speaking, one carries an item into a rabbim, it's because he needs the item there. By the mace, he's merely trying to clear the home of the mace. There's no real positive, constructive goal being achieved by taking the mace into the Rishus HaRavim. It's merely to address a concern, to address a problem that we need to clear the home. So there's a machlokes between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. In a malacha shenis rechel gufa, if it is chayv pater, according to Rav Shimon, it's pater. It is not considered to be a malacha deraisa. According to Rav Shimon, according to Rav Yehuda, it is a malacha deraisa. So once again, there's a machlokes with regard to malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Rav Yehuda says chai, Rav Shimon says pater, and the Gemara here relates that discussion, the discussion of malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, with this discussion of a davar she'ena miskaven. Why? Say to the Mefarshim something very interesting. They're both based on a common principle. We know that the malacha is done in the Mishkan. The Torah describes that as meleches machsheves, a malacha with thought, with planning, with the point, with the goal of achieving something from it, a design, to craft something with it. The malachas of Shabbos are very much related, are derived from the meleches haMishkan. Here too, we need it to be a meleches machsheves, something of importance, of significance, to achieve something. Therefore, explain the Mefarshim, both these types of malachas, A davar she'ein miskaven, and B, a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa, are both based on this concept, on this premise, that a meleches machsheves is required by Shabbos. Therefore, says Rav Shimon, in both cases, these things don't conform to meleches machsheves. A, if he has no intention of doing this malacha altogether, for instance, in the case where he's filling the kettle to warm the water, so what if there's a tziruf that happens, a meleches tziruf, if the kettle hardens? That wasn't his intention. It's not meleches machsheves. There's no kavanah, there's no intent purpose here. Number two, says Rav Shimon, a melacha she'en l'tzricha l'gufa. If he's doing this melacha, he has kavanah to do the melacha. He's taking the mace consciously out to the shesaravim. He has kavanah to do this. It's not something which is happening inadvertently. However, since he doesn't need the goal, the achievement is not what he needs. He doesn't need the mace out there. It's only the point to clear the home. It's not needed for its own sake. It's not accomplishing a constructive goal here, a constructive accomplishment. Therefore, says Rav Shimon, this too does not fall to the confines of a meleches machsheves asra Torah. It's not a melacha to perform, to create, to achieve, to build, to design. Therefore, the Gemara at this point relates these two things together. The Gemara supposes that they're interconnected, interrelated. And if so, the Gemara is Akasha. Once again, if Shmuel concurs with Shitas Rav Shimon with regard to one of these items, with regard to Malacha, Adavar She'en Miskaven, that is Mutter. If so, L'Chaira, logic says that he would agree with the other one as well, that Malacha She'en Atzricha L'Gufa is also Pater. So why then does Shmuel say that one cannot extinguish the Gachele Shal Eitzim Shesarabim, since it's a Malacha Dairaisa, but it's a Malacha She'en Atzricha L'Gufa? He doesn't need the Kibbuy here. There's no Toyelis, there's no goal being accomplished by putting out this flame for its own sake. For instance, if he was trying to design a coal here, Oisei Pechamin, Rashi says, or Mahavavei Psilish, coming to singe the wick in order to enable it for future use, that kibui, putting out the flame on this wick, where he's doing it to simply to prepare it for future use, or putting out the fire of Pechamen when he's trying to create charcoals. There he's trying to accomplish something, he's trying to develop something, he's trying to create something. That kibbutz is lachat shichel gufa. But in our case, he's merely coming to put out the flames so people don't step on it, people don't get harmed. He's doing it on account of public safety. So he's addressing a concern, he's answering a problem, he's not coming to do something constructive here. There's a lachat shichel gufa. So why does Shmuel forbid it? So once again, if we see that Shmuel holds, like Rav Shimon with regard to filling the kettle, because it's a Dovish and Meskav and it's Mutter, so why with regard to the Gacheles does he forbid it? Says the Gemara, you know what? This is actually a middle route. You can hold like one, not like the other. Not necessarily are they connected. Says the Gemara. Once again, V'isal Gadaydach, if you say, Savarlok Rav Shimon, that if Shmuel agrees with Rav Shimon, if so, afilu shleitz nami. Even when the gachelas is shleitz, why can't he extinguish it? Says the Gemara. B'davar shein meskaven, sov l'krib Shimon. If he does a ma'isa, and this results in a secondary malacha being done, an incidental malacha, which is subsequent of the initial ma'isa, that is davar shein meskaven, he has no kavana for that, and that is mutter. He holds like Rav Shimon with regard to that halacha. However, in the second halacha, when he does a malacha, and he intends on doing this malacha, but the point here is not for its own sake, it's merely coming to address a different side issue. With regard to that, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Explain to him in Farshim why. Why does he differentiate between both things? Because he holds that if he's doing a malacha, and he has kavanah for the malacha, that is a full-fledged malacha, even if it's not tzricha l'gufa. Even if he doesn't need it's not doing it for its own sake. But since he has the intent purpose of doing this malacha, it's considered to be a full-fledged malacha. It's different than davar shein meskaven, where he has no kavana to the malacha whatsoever. He's filling up the kettle to warm the water. He has no kavana to do the hardening of the kettle. It's not part of his program. Therefore, certainly over there, it's different, and that's not considered to be malachas machshavas. Continues the Gemara, Amar Avina, Hilkach, if so, that the Rabbanon stepped around the Shvus, they allowed one to forego the Issa of the Rabbanon when it accounts for public safety. Hilkach, as a result of that, Koitz Mishasarab, if one encounters a thorn in Mishasarabim, which poses a danger for the passerby, Malichai Pachas Pachas Mindal Damas, he can carry it in increments of less than 4 amas at a time, which is considered to be a shvus. It's a Rabbanon. The Rabbanon did not allow that for concern that one might actually carry it more than 4 amas. But once again, it's a Rabbanon is mutter on account of public safety. Ube Karmelis, if he finds his kites in a Karmelis, which is neither a Shas HaRabim or a Shas HaYachid, it's a Shas Rabbanon, we are carrying in that Rishus even more than 4 amas is merely a Rabbanon. If so, says Ravina Afilu Tuva, there he can carry the kites even more than four amas at a time, even if he is carrying more than just the pachas daldamas, that's mutter. Why? Because the entire concept of carrying in a karmel is only drabbanon, and that is mutter when it is a makayim of hezek rabbi. So in summary, chacham wa matir shvus in a place of hezek, when it poses danger for the rabbim, and as a result of that, Shmuel tells us one may extinguish a gachel shel mateches, which is only a sedra drabbanon. And Ravina tells us one may carry a kites, but it's just a rabbin less than 4 amas at a time, or an akamus even more than that. Continues the Gemara, Avol Noisei. This goes back to the Mishnah. Perhaps let's take a look back at the Mishnah. Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. This will be 3 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah concludes with the words, Avol Noisei is allowed to pour cold water, Noisei L'Soichai, into this kettle, Oilasei HaKois, or into a cup, or a glass, Kedei L'Afshiran, in a manner where he's only warming up this water. So he's doing it in a manner where the cold water is merely warming up, but not getting to the degree of heat, which would be considered to be bishul. The Gemara here will explain to us the framework, the context of this halacha. Tanur Amar, we learned in a brayse. Noisen adam chamen l'soichat tzoinin, one may pour hot water into cold water. V'loi hatzoinin l'soichat chamen. But one may not pour cold water into hot water. Divrei Beis Shammai, this is the Shita Beis Shammai. And as Rashi explains, Beis Shammai hold that tata, the bottom layer, the bottom level, govar, that prevails. So when we have a mixture of two items, two liquids, what's going to influence the nature, the temperature of this mixture? It's going to be primarily influenced by the item which was on bottom, on the receiving end. So if he's pouring hot into cold, that's okay, because the bottom liquid, which is cold, will cool off the mixture. However, in the reverse, he can't do that, because if it's cold into hot, so the chamin, which are on bottom, are going to prevail, are going to cook the liquid that is poured into them. Taisus points out, this not only pertains to a kli rishon, but even to a kli sheni, a secondary kli, which generally is not mavash, doesn't have the power to cook. However, Bishamim maintain that that too is usur. One may not pour cold into hot, which is in a kli sheni. Says Taisus, the gazri Bishamai, Bishamai a goizer, kli sheni otu kli rishon. For account, for concern that one may do it even a kli rishon, therefore, in any case, it is usur. So once again, very simple, according to Bishamai, it is tato govar, the bottom one prevails, and one must reckon accordingly. Ubeisil oimim, bein chamen le'soichat soinen, bein soinen soichat chamen mutter. Beisil disagree with this detail. They disagree with the klisheni aspect. They say, you know, we agree with you, with your concept that tato govar, the bottom layer level prevails, and therefore one may not pour cold into hot. That only is applicable to a kli rishon. We don't agree with this added stringency of kli sheni. Once again, obisil oimim bein chamen l'seichat soinin, whether hot into cold, or bein soyin l'seichat chamen, whether cold into hot, mutter, that's allowed, b'medva mamurim b'kois. B'medva mamurim, when is this allowed? B'kois. In a kois, which is a kli sheni, there's no concern of bishul in the kois. So even cold into hot, into the hot water contained in kli sheni is mutter. One more thing, says Basil. Even though I allow with a klisheni, but there's one exception. Avol be'ambati, a bath, that has its own category, that is more stringent than a kois. Why, explains Tosis? Since Tosis says, feet lefi, shechamen harbe, it's very hot. Vika lemigzar, there's room for exera here, that the roya, the observer, he'll see that it's that the ambati, the bath, is it contains such hot water, he'll think that it's actually a klurisha. And a klurisha is mevashel, so therefore we still agree with Bishamai by Nabati that even though it's a klisheni, the restriction applies there, and one may not pour cold into the hot that is contained in this bath for concern that one might confuse it with a klurisha. Again, when is this leniency applied? Because only a kois, a cup which is meant to be used for drinking. Aval b'ambati, a bathtub, chamen l'seichat soinen. Then only hot into cold, but not in the reverse. V'loy soinen tzeichat chamen, but one may not pour cold water into the hot water contained in the bath. So that's the second shita. Basil generally agrees with Beishamai's concept that into hot water you may not pour cold water. However, that only applies to a kli rishon, to the primary kli, which was the kli where the water was cooked in that, which has the added heat. It maintains a very high level of heat, and it imparts heat over to its contents. It performs bishul on something which is put into that kli. However, a kli sheni, a secondary kli where the contents were poured into from the initial kli, that kli doesn't have the ability to cook. There's no concern there. However, an ambati is different. As Tosis explains, there's exera there, since it's very hot, it's used for bathing. Perhaps one will think that's a kli rishon, and will infer from there that one may cook with a kli rishon. So Basil agree that ambati has it in like a kli rishon. Continues the braisa, one more shita. For Rav Shimon ben Manasseh oiser, he prohibits. Now it's not clear what he's referring to. We have two options. One, he could be referring to these last words of Basil, who tell us that even an ambati, which is more stringent, which has a din of a kli rishon, therefore one cannot pour cold into the hot that's contained in the ambati. But Basil told us that only pertains to cold into hot. But if he would like to pour hot water into the cold water contained in the ambati, that certainly is mutter. On that, Rav Shimon adds, no, that too is asur. I don't even allow pouring hot water into the cold water contained in the ambati. Perhaps the Chacham applied a broad decree to the Ambati. They don't allow any mixing whatsoever, whether it's this way, whether it's that way. We're concerned about the onlook, about confusion. They don't allow anything. That's one option. The other option is that Reb Shimon ben Yasser is not referring to the bath. He's referring back to the initial words of Beis Hillel regarding the kais. Beis Hillel told Beis Shammai, you know, we agree conceptually to the principle of Tatal Gavar, that it is the bottom layer which prevails, and therefore, if the Kli Rishon has hot water, one may not pour cold into that. But that only pertains to Kli Rishon. With regard to a kais, which is only a Kli Sheni, there's no concern there. One may pour the cold into the hot, contain the Kli Sheni. On that, Rav Shimon ben Yasser disagrees. He says, a kais, has the same thing like a Kli Rishon, and one may not pour cold into hot water contained even in a Kli Sheni. Perhaps that is what Rav Shimon ben Yasser is coming to say. The Gemara soon will expound on that. So we have two approaches, two interpretations of the Shita of Rav Shimon ben Yasser. Okay, continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Nachman, Halacha, we rule that we pass in like Rav Shimon ben Yasser. Okay, so once again we have three Shitas. We have Beis Shammai, we have Beis Hillel, and we have Rav Shimon ben Yasser. Continues the Gemara. Sofer Beis Hillel Meimer, Rav Yosef proposed that Seifel, a wash basin, Harayu Kambati, has the same dinner, is equated to a bathtub. Once again, Beis Hillel hold that a Kli Sheni is not a problem unless it's a bathtub. Rav Yosef proposes, suggests, that a wash basin, it's also used for the washing purposes, and here too, it has the same dinner like an Ambati, since the water contained therein is very hot. It has the same thing like an Ambati, as Tosafot says, it's a concern that one might confuse it with a Kli Sheni. So that's Rav Yosef's proposal. He suggests that a seifel, just like an ambati, has a din like a Kli Rishon, and one may not pour cold into the hot contained therein. Even according to Beis Hillel. Amalei Abaye, Tani Reb Chiya learns in a braisa, no, seifel ain't a kambati. There's no connection between the two. The Isser only applies to ambati. We regard that as a Kli Rishon, but a seifel, a wash basin, doesn't have that same status. Okay, so let's just take quick stock of the Gemara up until this point, and then this will enable us to proceed further. We have once again three Shitas of Beis Shammai who tell us Tato Gavar. It is the lower level which prevails, so one may pour hot into cold, because the hot will get cooled off by the cold water when it enters the cold. However, cold into hot, that entails Bishul, because the cold will be cooked, will become as bashal as soon as it comes into contact with the lower level of the hot water, which is Tato Gavar. Beis Shammai apply this concept to a Kli Rishon and also to a Kli Sheni. Beis Hillel disagree regarding a Kli Sheni. They say a Kli Sheni has no such concern, except for the Ambati, the bathtub, which is treated like a Kli Rishon. Rav Shimon ben Yasser says, it's Aser. What is he speaking about? So, let's just assume that he's referring to the Ambati, where Beis Hillel say that it has a din of a Kli Rishon, cannot pour the cold into the hot containing the Ambati, it's going to get cooked there, but hot into cold of the Ambati, that's okay. Comes Rav Shimon ben Yasser and he says, no, even that's not mutter. I prohibit, any sort of mixing with regard to a bathtub. The Chacham applied a gzera, a light plug, a broad gzera. One may not mix hot into cold, cold into hot, when we're discussing an ambati. Says the Gemara, Ulamai de Solika Daite. According to your initial suggestion, Ulamai de Solika Daite mi kar, the Seifel Hariukam Bati. Rav Yosef suggested, before Abaye brought a right from a braisa, Rabbi Yosef suggested that a seifel, a wash basin, has the same din like an ambati. And just as an ambati is treated like a Kli Rishon, so to a seifel is like a Kli Rishon. Now, what does Rav Shimon hold by ambati? He holds that any mixing is prohibited. And by extension, that principle will apply to a seifel as well. Says the Gemara of Omer of Nachman, so number one, we equate seifel with ambati. Ambati has a din like a Kli Rishon, and so does a seifel, even according to Beis Hillel, right? Okay, that's number one. Number two, v'amar Rav Nachman, halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Yasser. Rav Nachman concluded that the halacha follows Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, who prohibits. What is he coming to prohibit? He's coming to prohibit any sort of mixing in the Ambati, and by extension, any sort of mixing in the Seifel as well, because they both have the same halacha. Says Zimur, if that's the case, how are you going to wash yourself on Shabbos with hot water? Ella, b'Shabbos, rechitza b'cham en leka? Is that true that one cannot wash himself with hot water on Shabbos? And we know that's not so. We learned this back on Daf Lamed Tes, that one may use preheated water to bathe himself on Shabbos, as long as it's only part of his body, panav yadav raglav, as we learned there. So according to Reb Shimon, who says that any sort of mixing is asur with regard to Ampatia, with regard to a seifel as well. So one will not be able to rinse himself on Shabbos, not be able to wash himself with hot water on Shabbos. And that can't be so. Says the Gemara, we must reinterpret Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. Me, Saras, do you maintain that Reb Shimon ben Manasseh seifakoi, that he's referring to the Ambati, the halacha mentioned in the last words of Basil discussed Ambatia, that has been of Kli Rishon. Therefore, Basil say, one may not pour cold into the hot water contained in the Ambatia. However, Basil conclude that certainly one may do it in the reverse. He may pour hot into cold of the Ambatia. On that, Reb Shimon says, no, that too is Asur, because any sort of mixing is Asur when it pertains to Ambatia. And the Gemara learned by extension to Seifel as well. This will leave us stuck. How could somebody wash himself with hot water on Shabbos? Says Gemara, that's wrong. That's a wrong pirush. That's a wrong interpretation of Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. Mi savers, Reb Shimon ben Manasseh has seifa koi. No, he's not going on the latter part of Beis Hillel. Areisha koi. He's going on the former, on the first halacha of Beis Hillel. It will tell us. It will tell us that a klisheni, like a kois, is motor. A kois does not have din of a kli rishon, and therefore one may pour cold water into hot water that is contained in a kli sheni. And on that disputes Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. He says, I'm chalik on that. I hold that a kli sheni, a kois, is equated with a kli rishon, and one may not pour cold water into a kli sheni on Shabbos as well. Says one once again, Misavis, do you propose Reb Shimon ben Manasseh say the koi is going to Alach of Ambati, and he forbids any sort of mixing? No, Areisha koi. He's going on the first part of Basil, which is Obisil Oimrim, Obisil Matirin, Bein Chamel Soich Tzoinen. Basil allow by a klisheni, a kois, whether he's pouring the hot into the cold, or Bein Tzoinen Soich Chamel, whether he's pouring the cold into the hot, because a klisheni is not Mavashal. They don't agree with Beishamai, who prohibits even a klisheni. On that, says Reb Shimon Manasseh Oyser, Soil Seicham, and he holds that one may not pour cold into hot, even if it's contained in a klisheni. So everything's good and fine, because with regard to Rechitza on Shabbos, a simple solution: let him go ahead and pour diluted water in this manner, pour the hot into the cold. Even Reb Shimon agrees that's mutter, even if it's an Ambati, even if it's a Seifel. Reb Shimon is not discussing mixing it in that manner. Reb Shimon is only coming to disagree with Beis Shammai's heter that a kois, a klisheni, is not a problem. One may mix, one may pour cold into the water in klisheni. Says Reb Shimon, no, I disagree with that. So this concurs with Shita's Beis Shammai, who didn't differentiate between klisheni and klisheni. They held that always tata gavar, the bottom layer prevails. One may not pour cold into the hot contained either in a kli rishon or in a kli sheni. Says the Gemara, Leima, okay? If so, are you going to say Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, Doma ke Beis Shammai? That Reb Shimon ben Manasseh is following the Shita of Beis Shammai, would disallow pouring cold into the hot of a kli sheni? And that can't be so. That halacha doesn't follow Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara, Achi Kamar, this is what he meant to say. Lo nechalku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'davar zeh. What Reb Shimon means to say is, I'm not coming to disagree with Beis Hillel. I maintain that unlike the first version of the Braisa, where there was a machlekes in this regard, I maintain there was never a machlekes in this regard. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel never disputed this halacha. Meaning, Beis Hillel also agreed to Beis Shammai that one may not pour cold into hot water, even if it's contained in a kli sheni. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rafuna Beder Shua, Chazini Leil Rava. I noticed, I observed Rava, the loy kapid amana. He's not particular with the vessel, meaning he allows one to pour cold water onto the hot water contained in the klisheni? How do I know that? Midatani Rav Chiya, how does he know that? What did Rava base his halacha on? He based it on the brisa. Midatani Rav Chiya, as Rav Chiya told us in the brisa. Noisen Adam, Kiton Shomayim, one may place a pitcher of cold water, let's say Seifa Shomayim, into a wash basin of water, which contains water, whether Bein Chamin, whether it's hot, Bein Chamin, let's say Tzoyin, whether he's pouring the hot water into the cold water of the basin, or in the reverse, or Bein Tzoyin, let's say Chamin, whether he's pouring cold water into hot water, is no concern because it's a klisheni. How could you bring a riot from that brisa to allow one to pour cold water into chamin, into hot water in a klisheni? Perhaps that brisa is different. Dilma, perhaps. Shani Asam. Dimifsikli. What is the brisa speaking about? The brisa says, Noisen Adam, Kitoin Shomayim, a container with water, Lesech Sefer Shomayim, into a wash basin. So there's a kli there. He's not directly pouring the one liquid into the other. There is a kli which is interrupting, which is being mafsik, because the cold water is contained in a container. Amar leis, he told him ma'ar itmar. We actually learned that he poured it. Ma'ar adam, the brisa is meant to be read as follows: ma'ar adam kiten shomayim. One may pour the water from a container, let's say seifel shomayim, into a seifel of mayim, way bein cham, let's say whether it's hot into cold, or bein tzoyin into cham, and whether cold into hot. So the brisa clearly states that one may actually pour the water from the ketone into the seifel, even though he is pouring cold into hot. Since the seifel is a klisheni, there's no concern, and this is in accordance with Shitas Bisila. So once again, the summary on the sugi is as follows: pouring water, iri mayim, sometimes is allowed and sometimes not allowed. We have Beis Shammai, we have Bisila, we have Rav Shimon. Then we'll take that and go back to our Mishnah and try to interpret our Mishnah accordingly. Let's start with Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai say, when is pouring allowed? Only if it is chamen l'soich tsoinen, hot into cold, because the bottom layer of cold water, the tata, is governed. That prevails. That sets the tone that influences the temperature of this mixture, and the hot water poured in the cold will end up cooling off and won't be mavashal the tsoinen. What about in the reverse? Cold into hot. That's usur, regardless of whether it's a klirisha or not. Filu b'klisheni. The only time it's allowed is if he pours a large amount at once, which will simply result in the mixture getting warmed up and not getting cooked whatsoever. According to Beis Hillel, they agree with the concept of Beis Shammai, that the bottom level of the tata govern, that supersedes, that prevails. However, they hold that this restriction is only to a klirisha, not a klisheni. Therefore, according to Beis Hillel, which one is mutter chamen letzoich tzoinen, hot into cold, certainly, and even tzoinen letzoich chamen, cold into hot, is mutter if it's a klisheni. When do they aser, when do they prohibit? If it's an ambati, a bath, tzoinen letzoich chamen is aser if we're pouring into the hot water contained in a bath. Reb Shimon maintains, there was never a machlekes. Beis Hillel always agreed with Beis Shammai that the concept of ta'ato agavar, the prohibition of pouring cold into hot, applies even to a cliché. Now, let's go back to our Mishnah. Based on this discussion, let's go back and explain the halacha in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, once again, perhaps let's take a quick look. Mishnah daf from Aleph, 3 lines from the bottom. Aval noisim l'seichei, or l'seicha kois, one may pour cold into a kettle or into a cup. Kedei l'afshiran, which will result in the mixture merely, with the water merely warming up. So the Mishnah tells us that one may pour cold into a kois. Now, what is the scenario? What is the context of this heter? So let's go back to our Gemara. We have two options. It depends on the shittas. Avonoyis and Secha kois, the heter, will apply differently according to Beis Shammai than according to Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, the only way this is allowed is if he pours a large amount of cold into the hot water, into the hot water contained in the kois, which will result in the mixture merely warming up, because just a little bit cold into the hot of the kois will result in bishul. Because even though the kois is a klisheni, Beis Shammai prohibit pouring cold into the hot containing the klisheni on account of a gzeirah d'rabbanan. So evidently our Mishnah is discussing a case where he's pouring a large amount of cold So this will never result in any concept of Bishul. There's no gzera to be applied here. It doesn't even relate to Bishul. It's merely warming up. It's not getting to any high degree of heat. Therefore, there's no even Issa Rabbanan will not apply here. According to Basil, it's very straightforward. One may pour even a little bit of cold into the hot water contained in a cup, into a kais, because the kais is a klisheni. And klisheni is not mavashal, and it's mutar, even with Rabbanan. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Ha'ilfa is a frying pan, bakadera, or a pot, shehevira murusachin, which were removed off the fire, taken off the fire. Rashi says, ben ashmashes, so right in the beginning of Shabbos. So they're still hot, they're still boiling, murutachin, they still have the degree of heat, which is considered to be yadse, lettuce boy, as we learned in the Gemara, the Gemara daf mem amud beis, the hand recoils, that is the degree, the sufficient level of heat, which can accomplish bishul, can cook. So therefore the Mishnah tells us, lo yitein l'seichan tavan, one may not add seasoning to these containers, to this pot, which has the food, the content, which is still boiling, because the tavel, the seasoning, could get cooked. But once he transfers the content from the pot onto a secondary vessel, onto klisheni is not mavashel, and he can place some seasoning there. He can place seasoning into the bowl, or into the serving plate, which is a klisheni. Rabbi Doimer, la koil hu noisin. He can put seasoning, he can add seasoning to anything that he desires, to any pot, chutz, except midavar sheyesh bechametz v'tzir, a dish, a pot which contains a dish which has chametz, vinegar, v'tzir, or brine. These are acidic substances which influence, which enable the hot food to accomplish a bishul, to cook. Therefore, a dish that contains either chametz and tzir has the ability to cook. And one indeed may not add seasoning to that dish. If it is hot, as we mentioned before, it is yatsa lettuce boy. Now we're unclear as to the intent of Rabbi Yehuda. Says Mori Boilu, they ask the following question. What is Rabbi Yehuda referring to? Rabbi Yehuda Areisha Koy. Now the Mishnah had two clauses. We began with a Klirishin, where the concept of Bishul applies, and we concluded with Klisheni, where the concept of Bishul doesn't apply. Now Rabbi Yehuda tells us that when we add seasoning, unless there's chometz or tzir present. Is he coming to be mekel? Is he coming to be more lenient? He's saying, well, even a klirishon is not mevashal unless there's chometz or tzir and is extra sharp, extra acidic. Therefore, with regard to tavlin, Tosfos points out, we're speaking about seasoning specifically, tavlin will not get cooked even by placing it in a klirishon unless there's chometz or tzir present there. So Rav Yehuda is coming to be meikel. Iboilu Rav Yehuda areisha koyel lekula is coming to offer a leniency, to state a kula that even with regard to klirishon there's no concern with regard to adding seasoning unless it's chaimus v'tzir. Or idilma a seifa koyel lechumra. Or is he referring to the seifa? But we're speaking about a klisheni, which is not mavashal. Says Rav Yehuda, no, a klisheni too that also has the ability to cook. And one may not put the seasoning there, and the seasoning if the klisheni contains a dish which has chametz v'tzir. So once again, is he coming to offer a leniency or a stringency? Is he coming to say that the klirishon which is off the fire, it does not have ability to cook the tavlin unless the content has chametz v'tzir, it's extra sharp, extra acidic, or? Is he coming to be machmer? He's coming to say, one may not add seasoning, even to a klisheni, which is extra sharp, extra acidic, if it has the chaymes v'tzir. Tashma, come and listen. The sounding will not embrace it, or vidu aymer. L'kol ilfesin unoysen. One may add seasoning to any sort of frying pan, l'kol akaderis roischus unoysen, to any boiling pot. He can add seasoning. Chutz midavar sheyesh bechametz v'tzir, except if the dish contains vinegar or brine, and it has the acidity of these ingredients, which enable the dish to cook. So indeed, the Yehuda come to you, Mekel, to apply a leniency, a kula here, and allow adding seasoning even to a klirishon, even to a collution, provided that it doesn't contain the chaymis vitzir. So Rida is allowing adding seasoning to collution, but we must point out that we're speaking about the collution that's already off the flame. Continues the Gemara. What about cooking salt? So Rav Yosef figured, Melach hayruk etavlin. Melach is equated, has the halachic status of seasoning. The beklurishin bashla, that in the klurishin will get cooked, ubeklisheni le bashla. But in the klisheni will not get cooked, so it has the same din as seasoning. Amali abaye, tani Rav Chiya learns, teaches us in a brisa, that melach ain't a ketavlin. Melach is more sensitive. It's more delicate, it's more susceptible to heat and to getting cooked than merely seasoning. And with regard to melach, the bikli sheni nami bashla, it even cooks in a klisheni. So one must conduct himself more stringently with regard to melach. Tavlin, that depends if it's klishen or klisheni. Melach, even a klisheni can cook it. It's interesting, we had a similar dialogue between Rav Yosef and Abaye and Amar Aleph. We had Sabra of Yosef that Seifel is Kambati, and Abai responded, Tanar Rav Chiya, no it's not. Here too we have Sabra of Yosef that Melech is like Tavlin, and Abai responded with a Braisa, it's not so. Okay, so once again, Rav Yosef suggested that Melech and Tavlin have the same halacha. In the Klishen it's a problem, Klisheni it's not. Abai says no, Melech is more sensitive, even putting it in a Klisheni will result in Bishul. Continues the Gemara, Opligad Rav Nachman, Abai, who maintains that Melech is more delicate than Tavlin, he disagrees. He's Chaylik Rav Nachman, who tells us just the opposite. Though Rav Nachman, Tzricha Milcha Bishula. Salt is so resilient, it's so resistant to heat. It needs such an intense level of cooking. Tzricha Milcha. Salt requires Bishula, an intense degree of cooking, Kivisra the Tura, like the meat of an ox. And even putting in a Klishen is not a problem. Unless it's actually on the fire and cooking on the fire. So we have three opinions with regard to melach. We have Rav Yosef, we have Abaye, Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef says, melach has the same malacha tavlin, in the klishen, but it cooks, in the klishen it doesn't. According to Abaye, even in the klishen it can cook. According to Rav Nachman, even in the klishen, if it's off the fire, it will not cook the salt. V'ikadami, there's another approach, another version with regard to the opinion of Abaye. Once again, Sofer Rav Yosef LeMeimar, Rav Yosef proposed, Melech hayruk etavlin. Melech is like tavlin, the beklirishon b'sheila, klisheni loy b'sheila, that only cooks in a klirishon, not klisheni. So melech and tavlin go hand in hand. Amli Abaye? No. Tani Rav Chiya Toros? Melech ain't a ketavlin. Melech is more resilient than seasoning. The beklirishon nami lo b'sheila. It doesn't even cook in a klirishon. V'hainu, the Rav Nachman, and this indeed concurs with Rav Nachman, who said that tzricha milcha bishula, that salt needs a high level of cooking, commensurate to like the meat of an ox, and even in a klirishon, it will not get cooked unless it's directly on the fire. So once again, we have various substances. We have the tavlin, we have the melach. What is the halacha with regard to bishul? So tavlin seasoning, according to the Tanakhama, in a klirishon, it becomes nisbashel, in a klisheni not. Rav Yehuda maintains no. Even in a klirishon, it won't get cooked unless it contains chaymetz, vinegar, vitzir, or brine. What about melach? We have Rav Yosef who tells us melach and tavlin go hand in hand. It can only be cooked in a klirishon, not a klisheni. According to Rav Nachman, even in a klirishon, the melach won't get cooked unless it's directly on the fire. Abaye, we have two versions. According to version number one, he holds just the opposite. Melech is more delicate and sensitive and tender. And it gets affected easily by heat. And it can get cooked even in a klisheni. According to the second version of the Gemara, Abaye concurs with Rav Nachman that no, melech is more resistant to heat than mere seasoning. And the only way to cook it is if it's in klishen on the fire. Continues the Mishnah. Ein noisin klitach saner. When we not place a kli, for instance, a bowl underneath a lamp, to collect the dripping oil, what's wrong with doing that? Explains Rashi, because the shemen, the oil, is muktzah. Why is the shemen muktzah? So the Mepharshim give us a number of reasons. We have a choice of three reasons. Either it's muktzah because it's designated for the lamp, And when we not draw from that oil on Shabbos, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, one who draws from the oil in the lamp, he's doing a malach of mechabe, because he's weakening the power of the lamp, of the flame. So this oil that's in the lamp is meant to stay there. It's mukta. Number two, because perhaps the oil is also a basis, it provides a basis, a foundation, a support for the davar asr, for the flame, which is a davar asr. So it becomes mukta on that account. Number three, if we're speaking about a ner Shabbos, so the oil is hooked to the mitzvah, it's designated for to be used exclusively for the mitzvah. Therefore, this oil, for whatever reason, is mukta. Placing a kli underneath to collect this oil is also not allowed. Rashi gives us two reasons. Number one, because a kli cannot be moved for the sake of mukta. Just as we may not move mukta, may not use mukta on Shabbos, mukta is off limits. It's designated for non-Shabbos uses. One may not use it on Shabbos. Similarly, one may not take a kli, move it in order to service a dvar mukta, an item which is mukta. Rashi says, "Ein kli nital, a kli may not be taken b'Shabbos ella litzorech to service, to help, to aid and assist litzorech davar hanital, to help and service something which is not mukta, something which can be moved." So you can, just like you can't use the mukta itself, you can't move the mukta itself, you cannot take something else and move it to service that mukta item. So the mukta item, its use, and anything that is used for it is off limits on Shabbos. One may not take a kli to use that for a mukta. Therefore, you can't take the kli and place it under the ner to collect the mukta oil. That's one reason. Another reason, says Rashi, because by placing this bowl underneath the lamp, he's going to nullify the use of this bowl. Because once the oil drips in there, he can't use this bowl any longer. Says Rashi, one cannot do that. Osur levatel kli meichonai. One cannot nullify the use of the kli from its designated use. He cannot nullify its use on Shabbos. Why? Says Rashi, because it's like he's kuvel amokim. It's as though he's cementing it into place. He's putting it there, he's leaving it there. He can't move it. It's like baina. There's another Rashi elsewhere in Shabbos that says it's like soiser, because he's like destroying the, dismantling the kli. He's nullifying its use. So any angle which we adopt, this is an isser, and this is the reason. These are the reasons why you cannot place this kli under the oil to collect it on Shabbos. So once again, says the Mishnah, ein nosnu kli tachas haner lekal bais Hashem. V'im, continues the Mishnah, v'im nosnu b'joy. If he placed it before Shabbos, mutter, certainly that's mutter. Tosis points out that even lechatchila is allowed to do that. V'ein nosnu memeno, but he cannot derive hanah, pleasure from the oil contained therein. Why lefisha ein emena mochan? Because it's not prepared for Shabbos, it's mukta. Amar of Chizda, afal bisha amru, although we say, ein nosnu kli tachas hanegoyin lekal bais Hashem. So Rav Chizda here is interpreting the Mishnah based on the first reason, that one may not be noitel kli on Shabbos. He cannot pick up a kli to use it as a service to aid and assist something which is mukta. Therefore, says Rav Chizda, even though Chacham told us, afal bisha amru, ein noitel kli tachas hanegoilus, one may not take a kli and place it underneath the hen lekavu beitzasa, to collect this egg. He knows the hen is going to lay an egg. He's going to place a kli there to collect the egg, so it doesn't roll away and crack. So why may I do that? Why? Because the egg is mukta. This is discussed in the beginning of Masechta Beitza for a number of reasons. The egg which is laid on Shabbos is mukta. So certainly one may not take a kli to place it underneath the hen to accept, to collect the egg, which is mukta, because once again, he's not allowed to be metaltel a kli for the sake of a mukta. So although that's a fact, Aval, but there is an allowance in the following case. Koifa le'akli shalei teshaver. Once the egg is laid, he can take a kli and cover over the egg, turn it upside down over the egg to protect the shalei teshaver so that it doesn't get trampled upon. Even though, in this case as well, it seems like he's moving a kli, he's taking a kli, for what? To service a mukta item. Amar Rabba, indeed, what is the reason for this? What is the difference between one case and the other? My time with the Rav Chizda, what is the reason here? Because Rav Chizda holds, Tarnagoylis asuya lahato beitzasa ba'ashpa. A Tarnagoylis is liable. It is common for the tarnigol to lay its egg in an ashpana, in a heap of trash or similar location, where it is liable to get trampled upon by passerby and get damaged. But it's not common for the hen to lay its egg in a mokim madron, in a place of incline where the egg will roll away and crack. There's not such a that concern is not so real. That's not so common. So once again, tarnagoyles asuya lahatol beitzasa. It is common for the tarnagol to lay its egg be'ashpa in a heap of trash in a public area. We will get trampled upon, and one needs to take the proper precaution to protect the egg. Ve'ena asuya, but however, it's not common that the egg will be laid, that the tarnagolus would lay its egg la'ata be'tzasa, but makim madrin incline where the egg will roll away and crack. Therefore, it says Rabbah, va'atzola mitzuya hitiru. The Chacham allowed one to take a precaution on account of a common loss. Hatzola mitzuya, something which is common, which is a common occurrence. They allowed even. If he's going to be metaltel ekli litzera for the sake of a muktzah, because that is also considered to be part of the Shabbos needs. What's the point? What's the isser of muktzah? It's designated for non-Shabbos use. For instance, a hammer, which is designated to knock in a nail, a saw, etc. These things are not designated for Shabbos. They're meant to be used for malachis. Just as we're not metaltel those muktzah items. They're off limits. They're out of bounds. We're not metaltel them. And we're not metaltel something for their sake as well. Getting involved in the muktzah item itself, or coming to service it, that's all part of muktzah. That's out of bounds, out of the realm of the ordinary Shabbos use, of the shimush Shabbos. That's not considered to be a Shabbos need, a Shabbos shimush, that's muktzah. So the muktzah itself, or servicing the muktzah. However, if it's a hatzolah mitzuya, if it's a precaution that is something which a person needs to commonly take, it is something which is a common occurrence. That falls into the realm of an ordinary Shabbos use, and that is not muktzah. Therefore, explains Rabbah, one may be metaltel a kli for this purpose. But this is something which is a common occurrence on Shabbos, that falls into the context of an ordinary, a common Shabbos use, a need of Shabbos. That's not muktzah. Once again, about Tzola Metzuya Etiru, something which is common, a precaution required for a common occurrence, for a common loss, they will matter. So therefore you can be metaltel to cover up the egg which was laid in a public area and make it trampled upon. However, to take a precaution, hatzola, for the sake of a uncommon loss, like if you're concerned that the egg will roll away down the incline, that's not something common, that's not a common occurrence that will happen. It's not common for the tarnagoyles too. Lay his egg in that manner, which will roll away. So that's not considered to be a common occurrence, a common ordinary Shabbos need, and therefore this falls into the category of muktzah. He cannot be metaltel kli for that muktzah item. Once again, just as he can't be metaltel the muktzah itself, the egg itself, he cannot come and service that egg using another kli. That's considered to be part of the muktzah. It's within the realm of muktzah. It relates to the muktzah item. It's not part of a Shabbos use, and therefore it is usur to be metaltel kli for that purpose. Explains Rashi that explains our Mishnah as well, that placing the kli under the shemen coming out of the nair, that too, says Rashi, is not a hatzolah mitzuya. It's not a common thing. It's not a common need. It's not considered to be an ordinary Shabbos need. And therefore, since the shemen is muktzah, one may not be metaltel kli to service that muktzah oil. Continues the Gemara, Esve Abaye. So Abaye asked the Kasha, how can you say that is the benchmark, whether it's Mitsuya or not Mitsuya? Vatzola She'ena Mitsuya Lo Yitiru? Are you going to propose that to take a precaution on account of an uncommon loss, that cannot be done? Vatani, but haven't we learned? Nishper Lo Yechavish Al Tevel, Berish Gagai, one who had a barrel which contained the Tevel food, which is Muktzah, because it cannot be eaten on Shabbos. So if that barrel breaks, maybe kli can go rushing, bring a kli, umineach tateh, and place it underneath to collect the items that are coming out of the chavis. Even though the tevel is muktzah, and a cracking chavis is not something which is common. So how can he do that? He's being metaltel kli, that's soirich ha-muktzah, and it's not something which is common. Says the Gemara, indeed, this is common. Begufi chadati, we're speaking about new earthenware, chavis, new earthenware barrels, which are the shchichi de paki. It is common for them to burst, and therefore this is considered to be a common loss, a common occurrence. Eis v'hiyesem another kash. Noisin kli tachsan ner l'kabon etzoitzis. One may place a kli under the ner to collect these sparks which are flying. Nitzoitzis is not shchiach. And even though the nitzoitzis are mukta, how can we allow him to take a kli to collect those mukta items? He's servicing mukta. Even though it's not something which is shchiach. It's not something which is mitzui, which is common. It says the Gemara, yes, nitzoitzis is not mishchichi, that too is something which is common. And it falls into the category of hatzola mitzui. Now Tosis points out something very interesting. That actually, dripping oil is more common than flying sparks. So why then does the Gemara say that the dripping oil is not something which is atzola matsuya, and the flying sparks is considered to be atzola matsuya? It says Tosis, just the opposite. Since the dripping oil is so common, it is common practice to place the kli under the dripping oil, under the ner, from Erev Shabbos. He anticipates the dripping oil, so he places the kli there on Erev Shabbos. So comes Shabbos, it's not something which is pertinent. It's not common. It's not a common necessity on Shabbos. It's not an ordinary need on Shabbos itself, because the kli is generally placed there from before Shabbos. So once again, this doesn't fall into the category of a Shabbos need, of a Shabbos tzorich, of a shemesh of Shabbos. Therefore, it falls into the category of mukta, and why not be metaltel kli for this purpose, for the purpose of collecting this mukta oil, since he's servicing the mukta, which the oil which is mukta. So it falls into the realm of a shimush mukta and it's asur. And since it's something which is uncommon, this need is not something which is common, it is not allowed. However, it says the flying sparks, even though it's actually not so common for sparks to go flying in the house, that he should need to protect his home from the flying sparks. Nevertheless, it says it's just the opposite. Quite the contrary, since it's not so common, he's not liable to go put the kli there from Erev Shabbos. He's not inclined to do that. Therefore, comes Shabbos when he sees flying sparks, there's no kli there. So indeed, this is considered to be a need of Shabbos, a tzorech of Shabbos. It's atzola mitzuya, it's common. It is common to encounter this problem on Shabbos. Because it does happen that flies sparks go flying. And generally speaking, there's no kli there. So therefore, this is considered to be atzola mitzuya. So it's just the opposite. Even though the sparks are less common than the oil, but to have sparks flying on Shabbos is more common than having oil drip on Shabbos. Okay, let's take a chazor of today's daf. We began with a heter of a shvus in a makom hezek. How allowed one to do an isur drabanan on account of protecting the public? One may extinguish a gachelah shel mateches, a glowing piece of metal in shesurabim. One may transfer the kites, which is lying in shesurabim, if he takes it less than 4 amos at a time, which is drabanan, in a karmelis. One may carry even a longer, even more than 4 amos. What about mixing water, hot and cold? According to Beis Shammai, only hot into cold, but not cold into hot, even if it's a klisheni. According to Beis Hillel, hot into cold is mutter, and cold into hot is mutter if it's a klisheni, unless it's an ambati. Taisa says it's generally very hot. One may confuse it with a klirishon. Reb Shimon maintains there was never such a machlekes. We still agreed with Beis Shammai that we always apply the klal, the concept of ta'ato gavar, the bottom layer prevails. And therefore, tsoinen l'tzachamen is usur, even a klishen. The Mishnah tells us one may pour some cold into the kais, into the hot water contained in a kais. According to Beis Shammai, how do we interpret this halacha? He's going to pour a large amount of cold into the kais, which will not allow it to get cooked. It only will get slightly warm. And therefore, even though it's a klishen, and klisheni is usur midrabanan, when he pours cold into hot, it won't apply in this case, since he's pouring a large amount of water where it only slightly warms up. According to Beis Hillel, very simple. He may pour cold into the hot of a klisheni, into the kais, because it's only a klisheni. There's no issur to do that whatsoever. We learned regarding bishul of tavlin, of seasoning, of salt. Tavlin, according to the Tanakhama, will get cooked in a klirishon, not a klisheni, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Even in a klirishon, it's not a problem, unless it has chaymes v'tzir, vinegar or brine, when it's very sharp and acidic. What about melach? According to Rav Yosef, melach has the same din of tavlin. In the klirishon, it's bashel. In the klisheni, not. According to Rav Nachman, Even in Kli Rishon, it won't get cooked unless it's directly on the fire. Abaye, we have two versions. Either he holds that Melach is very delicate, even in the Kli Sheni, it will get cooked. And the second version was that he agrees with Rav Nachman, that even in the Kli Rishon, it's not a problem unless it's directly on the fire. We proceeded with the Mishnah, which taught us that just as one may not be metaltal muktzah itself, one may not be metaltal the Kli to serve as the muktzah. The Gemara told us, concluded that, according to Rava's interpretation of Chizda, this is allowed when it is for the sake of Hatzola Metzuya, when he's coming to save something, he's taking a precaution for a common loss. In that case, the tiltal of a Kli is mutter, that too is considered to be a Shabbos needed, Terech Shabbos, a Shimush of Shabbos, and is not Asur on account of Muktzah.